Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Julius Baer's Moving Markets podcast. It's Friday, the 19th of April, and my name is Helen Freer. On today's show, I'll be talking about all the latest market news with Jan Bopp. And then part two today is a special with Menzel Pachinci. We'll be talking about sell in May and go away. I'm sure you're all aware of the saying. So I'll be speaking to Menzel about this and whether or not he thinks it applies this year. But first up, we'll start with the regular markets wrap. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Helen.
Now, according to US officials, Israel launched a missile strike on Iran less than a week after Tehran's rocket and drone barrage. How did markets react to this news?
Well, Helen, we've seen a typical reaction function overnight, I'd say. Equities are lower, gold is higher, safe haven currencies such as the Swiss franc and the Japanese yen are higher, and treasury yields are lower. Also, in an initial reaction, oil prices jumped more than 4%, with Brent crude back above $90 a barrel before retreating back below that level. We've seen the same for gold, which spiked after the news, but is already back below $2,400 an ounce. And while the impact on financial markets for now seems limited, overnight reactions show how sensitive the market is to such news. And for now, the situation in the Middle East remains tense, and experts do not expect this to change anytime soon.
Okay. I mean, it's already been a tough week in financial markets. Yields were mostly higher, equities mostly lower. Were markets finally able to catch a breath yesterday?
Yeah, well, it's been a turbulent week, Helen. And as you said, and yesterday, like most of the other days, markets tried to find some equilibrium, some balance, but that just seems to be a difficult task at the moment. And look, it's not just geopolitical tensions in the Middle East that are making investors nervous. It's not just hawkish Fed speakers. It's also some of the AI-related quarterly reporting that has shown weaker momentum in the order intake, at least for some of the major players in this space. And Helen, some of these companies are so big in terms of market capitalization that they can, well, at least to some extent, move the entire market. And I'm not just talking about the US. I mean, take ASML, for example. It's Europe's biggest tech company. I mean, you know what? Guess what the weight of the company is in the Euro Stoxx 50? And remember, that's the index with the 50 biggest companies in the Eurozone by market capitalization.
I'm not sure. I know it's big. I think it's around 8% or something.
That's really close, Helen. Not bad. It's 10%. I thought it was less. So in consequence, the disappointing earnings report this week weighed on the entire index. Nevertheless, European equities did end yesterday's trading mostly higher, with the Spanish IBEX 35 and the French CAC 40 outperforming the rest of Europe. This time, it wasn't the luxury goods group LVMH that led the index higher. But let me give you an interesting fact from the Financial Times after yesterday's earnings report from the company. Global sales of handbags and perfumes made by LVMH actually account for a larger share of France's exports than all of the camembert and wine produced by the country's agricultural sector.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Let's move across the pond and look at US markets now. How did they perform?
US equities, again, tried to push higher before initial recoveries gave way to sell-offs in late trading. With benchmark indices dropping now for fifth straight session. That's the longest losing run since last October. So futures for the region are down 1% this morning. Maybe this will be another day of losses. And looking at Asia, equity markets, they are also sold off with the Nikkei underperforming, down 2.7%.
Okay, looking at the fixed income market, the increase in geopolitical risk so far, we'll need to see what happens today, but so far it hasn't really led to a safe haven flight into US treasuries, right? I mean, yields were still pushing higher this week.
Yeah, exactly, Helen. I mean, we've seen safe haven flights, not just after the recent events. So if you look at gold, for example, it traded near its all-time high the entire week, and and just shy of $2,400 per ounce this morning. We've also seen flows back into the Swiss franc lately. For US Treasuries, on the other hand, it just remains a tough environment. We've seen some flows pushing yields lower from Tuesday highs, but given the geopolitical tensions, the push for yields to go substantially lower remains limited, if you ask analysts.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, Fed speak is making investors increasingly nervous. It started with Fed Chair Powell's comments this week that it might take longer to reach the inflation target and that it needs more patience. That is just a bulwark keeping rates from falling. And the Fed is really hammering home its patient rhetoric. John Williams, who feels no urgency to cut rates, also didn't rule out a possibility of a hike. Now, that's quite a statement. Bostic didn't expect policy easing until year end, and Neil Kashkari forecasts a delay until after 2024. And that was only over the last 24 hours.
Okay. Just lastly, Jan, what should investors look out for today?
Well, in terms of macro data, it's a very light day. I would expect the market to focus on the developments in the Middle East to assess the situation and what it means for the asset allocation of investors. And with that, back to you, Helen.
Great. Thanks very much, Jan, for the nice roundup this morning. Now, good morning, Menzel, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Helen.
So as the end of April is approaching, I thought it would be a good time to talk about the old adage that I'm sure most people are aware of, sell in May and go away. Perhaps firstly, you could tell us a bit about where this saying comes from.
Well, basically, all these sayings, they have some truth in there. So all these sayings come from market participants who follow the market. And it is true. In the summer months, the returns of equity markets globally are much more muted. So the majority of returns or capital gains are basically made in the winter months and not in the summer months.
Okay. According to the theory then, how long should investors go away for? Does this mean not investing again until November?
Well, according to the numbers, basically the returns in the summer months are muted, but on average, they are not negative. So with the compounding effect, you have to really think hard. Should you go away in the summer or just expect a little bit less returns than in the winter months?
And is it really, I think it's not just a matter of which month of the year we're in, but what the underlying trend in the market is that's important. Is that right?
Yes. As a rule of thumb, the summer months probably have less liquidity, a little bit more volatility. And of course, they are subject to a little bit more volatility as there is less liquidity. So this means that in downtrends, the summer months are doing quite bad. So as an example, if we look at the S&P 500 in the summer months, so from May to October, on average, the S&P 500 has declined by 1.2% if it was in a downtrend. On the other hand, if the index was in an uptrend, the index managed to gain 2.4%, which of course doesn't sound too much, but with the compounding effect, do you really want to miss 2.5% or 2.4%? And then, of course, you have the bigger challenge when you return. If prices are a little bit higher than where you sold, are you really ready to buy? Or will you skip the buying and then prolong your period holding cash?
Okay, got it. Historically, though, you have said that equities tend to underperform in the six-month period from May to November. You mentioned liquidity. Is that the main reason or why else is this?
Well, probably it's liquidity. Secondly, of course, a lot of market participants maybe go on summer holidays. And then most likely the inflows into financial markets are probably more towards the year end, where the big institutional money comes in, the pension funds, the reallocation and so on and so on. So probably it's a combination of everything. And you see it as well in the activity on the, let's say, IPO market or issuance market. In the summer months, basically everything cools down a little bit.
And does this sell in May theory apply across asset classes or does it vary?
Yes, I mean, as a rule of thumb, in the summer months, risk assets do a little bit worse than in the winter months. And we see this, for example, in the opposite camp in safe haven assets. So safe haven assets like US Treasury bonds do a lot better in the summer months than in the winter months. And the same is true, let's say, if you go into the high yield. So US high yield bonds do a little bit worse in the summer months than in the winter months. So as a rule of thumb, we can say that in the summer months, risky assets in general do a little bit worse than in the winter months. But the key question is, are you in a bull market or in a bear market? And if you are in a bear market, then it really makes sense to consider to trim some of the exposure into risky assets, as said, let's say, equities or high yield bonds.
But what are you saying for this year then?
Well, for this year, when we look at the financial markets, equity markets, we are seeing clear uptrends. So from that point of view, we would expect that the summer months will be less positive as the winter months, but it's not a reason to sell this year. And the same holds true for risky bonds. I mean, we look at US high yield bonds, they are not in a downtrend. So that's why we think one can hold these assets. Nevertheless, be prepared that the returns will be, of course, less than in the winter months.
And what about the fact that it's an election year in the US this year? We obviously have the presidential election coming up in November. Does this impact the seasonal pattern at all?
Yes, it impacts the seasonal pattern a little bit in the sense that historically, of course, this is historically, we can never forecast the future. Historically, somehow the market towards the mid of the second quarter becomes a bit more confident who is going to win the election or what will be the outcome. And usually the uncertainty of the equity market basically lasts until the middle of the second quarter. And then usually you have a nice year-end rally starting in the middle of the second quarter. So this would speak again against a very bad summer return this year.
Okay, thanks very much, Menzel. So to conclude then, I think I'd be correct in saying that sell away and go away is certainly true on a very high level. I mean, the numbers confirm that because the average return of equities between the beginning of May and the end of October is weak. It's not always negative, but it is lower. But there is a lot of variation within equities, and it's important to consider the starting point. So whether the market's currently weak or strong. And at the minute, you would argue that equities are actually still in a bull market. So in this case, sell away and go away actually wouldn't apply this year. Would you agree with that, Menzel?
Yes, Helen. Excellent. I agree fully with your conclusion.
Very good. Thanks very much, Menzel. Great to get your insights on this morning. So that is all for today. Thank you again to today's guests, and thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show and you haven't yet subscribed, then don't forget to do so. And please also leave us a review on whichever platform you like to listen on. And do join us again next week. Bernadette will be your host on Monday, and she'll be talking to more of our colleagues about what is moving markets. Have a great day, everyone, and then a great weekend. Bye for now.
The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliasbear.com/legal/podcasts for further other important legal information.
Beyond Markets is a weekly podcast where Julius Bear experts and external speakers discuss some of the latest market developments. They share their key research and insights on today's ever-changing economic landscape and present practical advice. Search for Beyond Markets on your favorite podcast player.